which was, he said, the word became flesh. The word that God spoke is why you are here. Are you getting my point? You didn't come to this life to learn how to do things. You came to this life to demonstrate what God spoke that you should do. That's why there are so many accidents and locks in life. So that God will let men understand that the race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. Bread is not to the mighty. Not favor to the men of understanding. He said time and chance happens to all men. God just wants you to understand that you cannot plan it enough. Just make, you know, something happened to my wife. She traveled, you know. She just came back 2 days ago. I know she said, look, my wife is a very, I miss my wife a lot. So thank God for GSM. I wonder how men used to cope those days when the wives would travel on ship. 2 months to get to where you are going. Two months to come back. That is the journey alone. No? And in case you want to write letter, 2 months for the letter to go there. And she, so if she writes you how much she loves you today, you can be sure that that's how much she loved you 2 months ago. As at now, you are not sure. I said, when are people taking off? That's to come back to Enugu. So I'm waiting for them to announce the flight. Meanwhile, the pilot was wondering, where is this last passenger? Where is this last person? They said, offloading her load at Weston. She doesn't want to travel again. And she was sitting down there, waiting. Finally, she heard, please can Ufoma Olishina. She entered the plane. People were like, where did you go all this way? And she did not hear the announcement. All the, she said, she wasn't sleeping. She was waiting. She was eager to go home. And he said, look at how the devil wanted to ruin. And of course, we don't make cake, tie balloon. Everybody was waiting. Madam, they come home. Ah, it would have been devastating. This is the point. As if God wanted to show that it's not planning. She was sitting in the airport there waiting. And announcements were made and everybody entered the flight and she did not, get my point, she did not hear. To let you know, the race is not the swift. It is not the person that knows how to plan that gets everything. Things will just go wrong. You will wonder, waiting I do. Hope you're getting my point. The most important reason you will succeed in life, that's what I'm explaining. It's not because you have sense. It is because God spoke a word. It is because there is a promise. And I explained last time that promises, all right, force every event in life to cooperate. That's why the easiest way to succeed as a Christian is to discover what God said you should do. Is to discover what God wanted you to become. Is to discover what God created you to be. It's not about principles first. It's about what? Promises. Like Miles Monroe said, before God formed you, he first wrote the plan. Then when he had finished with the plan, you know what he now did? He now formed you to fit his plan. Are you getting my point? Now, listen to this. When we talk about the will of God, I need to say it again. Remember that my little book, What is God's Will Here? In the first chapter, I tried to define what it was or what it is that is the will of God. Unconsciously, what men call the will of God. I'll give you two meanings for the will of God today, all right? The first one is the one we discussed before, and I want to explain that. Then I'll explain the second one, which I already mentioned a bit earlier anyway. Number one. Now, unconsciously, when you tell a woman, marry me, and she wants to go and pray to find out the will of God. When you tell a man, take a job, and she wants to pray, he wants to pray to find out the will of God. What he means, what she means, most times, that which one will benefit me more? Please, Lord, tell me. I don't know whether I get my point. That is why Christianity is different from all other religions. Because when you go to a diviner, you will ask him, you know what they call a diviner? Those who cast pellets or use whatever to tell you the future. You will ask him, please, this man says I should marry him. Will he be a good husband? So he starts checking, using his principles. In 25 years' time, will he still be loving you or will he be shooting you? In 25 years' time, will he be richer or will he be poorer? So he starts checking those things, and his conclusion on whether you should marry him or not is based upon whether in 25 years' time he will be a nice guy still, or he will be a rich man still, or richer. And if he looks like he will fit those two things, then he will say, go ahead, my daughter. The God said you should go ahead. Are you getting my point? For the young man too, if you go, say, and they said, I said, would the boss sack me? That's what the man is checking. Will they increase my pay? Will I become MD one day? Will I, from this job, able to, like they say in Yoruba land, will I be able to bring the fruits of the farm back to the house? You know what I mean? That is, after I have sojourned, will I have enough to take back home? And if that is the case, they'll say, good, go ahead, marry him. Or do take the job. That is the will of God. But in that book, I said, that's not the will of God. Let me tell you what the will of God is. The will of God simply means that God wrote something before you were born. And is this what he wrote or is not what he wrote? If you were to show Joseph a picture of his life over the next few years, he won't go. He's not going anywhere. Joseph is easy to understand because eventually became prime minister. But think about Moses. The step he took was not the step in the will of God, the way you and I know the will of God today. Because no matter how much we honor him today, don't forget, living in the wilderness is not easy. He could have settled in the palace and become somebody great. And he would have testified of how to reject the temptation of joining the Israelites. So what is the will of God? Let me tell you again. It's not the one that feels good to you. The fact that you went somewhere at the end of the day, all right, things did not go as men thought goodness should reflect, does not mean you make the decision out of the will of God. What defines what the will of God is, okay, is whether that's what God really wants for your life. Sometimes it doesn't mean you become rich and become very influential and become a governor and become a big political figure. That's one level of the will of God. The second level, which I want to introduce today, is that in every situation, the will of God is that vision, that wisdom, that entrance into the kingdom. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, there's a general will of God concerning your life, but each situation you will encounter in life, there is one thing that God wants you to do. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now, that thing that is the one thing is what Peter called in that context, in that verse, the entrance into the kingdom of God. Now, let me say it again. There is one thing that God wants you to do in every situation. There are times that God will lead my steps. By the time I finish, now I know, you know, devil and I, we're not friends. We don't go out together. He doesn't ride in my car. I hope you know that. He doesn't ride in my car. We are not friends. He doesn't lead me. All he ever tries to do is to tempt me. I don't follow him. He doesn't live in my house. We are not friends. Listen to me. He doesn't control my life. If my tire busts for road, one thing you will never hear me say is, Satan, I rebuke you. Because he was not there when my tire was busting. As God, who I serve, is my witness, all I ever say is, Father, I thank you. You will explain to me what is the purpose for you stranding me in the bush, but I thank you. What I'm telling you has happened? Not once. I say, dear Lord, see this time I don't go down. This one don't enter mud now. How it will please you, I really don't know. But first of all, in everything, I will give thanks. My issue is between me and my God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, what I'm saying is, there are times that God has led me like that, and I have suffered a loss. Are you getting my point? God has led me like that, and what I would have loved to gain, I lost it. God has led me like that, and I would have loved to increase, but I went down, outwardly speaking. It doesn't mean it's not the will of God. As long as I got there, all right, doing what I knew to be right, this is the point I'm making. Even under those circumstances, I check, what am I supposed to do now? Listen, what am I saying here? That there is one thing to do, and that is the will of God. It's not every time your boss harasses you, you resign. There are those who resign into poverty like that. who resign into confusion. And they will not go back in the path of progress for life until they go back and go and apologize for resigning. You don't know there are times that God sends you to places so that they will humble your head. You are feeling too happy. So they will give you a wicked soul of a boss. Jacob thought he was smart. God said, all right, no wahala. I will lead you into the house of a smarter guy. By the time he's through with you, you will fear God. Now, please, I hope you are getting what I'm saying. That the second kind of will of God, what I'm saying here, that God has a word. He has something specific he wants you to do in every situation. And that thing, listen to me, is the entrance into his kingdom. Don't forget what the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is when a man is able to look at the storm and says, stop, peace, be still. And Nicodemus comes and says, nobody can do this thing except God is with him. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's when a man, when they say that nobody can ever build anything solid in Nigeria, and the man builds something, and they say nobody can do this thing. Are you following me? Except God be with him. What leads you into that particular kind of lifestyle, manifestation or partaking of divine nature, like we said, is when in each situation you discover the entrance into the kingdom. Listen to me. Christianity, that's what makes it unique. There is nothing. Look, listen, there are some baseline things that are general. Are you getting what I'm saying? But beyond those baseline things, Christianity is so specific to each person. God has something specific he has written concerning your life. If you do the one I am doing, you won't get anywhere. Look, all this copycat mentality is okay for babies. While we are yet children, you get my point? We will learn some basic things by copying other people. But the time comes, you come up to maturity. You will rise up and say, what is the entrance into the kingdom of God for me? Now listen to me. When you discovered that entrance, that is when you will do the most foolish of things and it will confound the wise. Look, a Christian is not a fatalist. You know, like a fatalist, a man who doesn't care what happens. No, that's not what Christianity is. A man of faith is not the person who just gets up and does things, believing everything will be alright. You know, I'm like, you just get up and do everything that's contrary to reasoning. It is not a sign of your faith that you're always disagreeing with everybody. You know what real faith is? That you are taking actions. Now, let me say this to you. Listen to me clearly. To the man of faith, I think I've said it before. Hear it again. To the man of faith, his actions are reasonable. It is the people that are watching that think he's unreasonable. Let me say it again so you will hear it clearly. If you are doing things that appear foolish to even you, it's not faith, it's foolishness. If even you are confused as to what you are doing, you're not obeying God. You're confusing yourself and you are deceived. The fact is that you are probably copying somebody else. In the depths of your heart, you still think there's something wrong with this. But because that's what Pastor Banky did, and life is okay for him. Because that's what you saw this man do, and life is okay for him. And you now do it, but you think is the most foolish thing for you to do. You're not walking by faith. You're walking by imitation. Are you getting what I'm saying? The things that I will do, and it will be a matter of faith, to me is reasonable. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. It is to those who don't see what I'm saying that it is unreasonable. The man of faith, what he's doing to him is very reasonable. Jesus went to the cross. Very foolish and stupid thing to do. Yes, now, because you don't see what he's in. The Bible said he didn't go to the cross because he loves pain. He was not a pervert. When he saw the cross, what did he do? He moved by side. They come. Peter, wait here. I won't go pray. He did. Nah. Please hear this. He did not step out of that garden until he had the assurance that this is the right thing to do. And the Bible says that angels ministered to him. What did they do? He said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. He saw something, and they said, the only door to this thing is the cross. Therefore, because of what was behind the cross, it went through the cross. To him, it was reasonable. It was to those of us who didn't understand that thought it was a bold step. That's why a lot of bold steps have turned out in calamity. Like I say all the time, David didn't face Goliath thinking that my God is able. You know what I mean? Like, God can do anything. He faced Goliath knowing that he, David, will kill Goliath. That is, oh, I don't know what you get from my explanation. David knew he would take a stone. David didn't think that, let me face Goliath. When I get there, the Holy Spirit will come upon me. I'll just do something. David settled down, looked at Goliath, said, this guy's head is big. I can't miss him. The way I normally handle my stone, I use this stone to harvest mango. The last 50 mangoes I went after, not one of them survived. All I need to do is get heavier stones. Now, if I tell you this, it's surprising. Some of you. David took those stones knowing exactly that I will sling this stone. The man is using a sword and a javelin. Fine. Before he will raise the sword, I will have, and he won't know what's coming. And the thing will hit him dead in the head. I will stun him. In that process, I will go after him, take his sword, and behead him. By the time he wakes up, he'll be dead. As God is my witness, David knew that was what was going to happen. The question is, how did he know? Christianity is, how do I get to the point of knowing exactly what to do? That's why I can't read it in a book. Because every book will tell you the foolishness of attacking a giant with a stone. You know why? What if you miss? He go vex, kill you twice. Now, you are getting the principle. You are getting the principle. So, to David, it wasn't like, hey, my God will just do something. Goliath shall fall. This Goliath will just collapse. Will just have a stroke suddenly and just die. No. David knew this Goliath is going down. And these are the steps for the going downness of Goliath. We shall take a very smooth and heavy stone. Having been experienced, you will see what David did. He didn't say that I was just a lucky man. He said, God, you taught my hands to war. Do you get my point? God gave me the skill for battle. So I analyze the situation. How do we take this guy? Not in sport. So what we're going to do? We're going to bring him, stun him first. And then we'll kill him. How do we stun him? We'll take his sling and his stone. So when they gave him his sword and all of those things, he said, oh God, this one is heavy. Because when a man wants to wind his stone, you know, all these encumbrances of brass and iron are going to become a serious problem. So he dropped it. What am I saying? The entrance into the kingdom for David was what? The knowledge of what he needed to do to bring down Goliath. It wasn't just a, you know, I told the boldest people are fools. You know that? The boldest people on earth are the people that know nothing. You want me to prove it to you? How many people invest in the stock market who are right now broke for life? They had no idea what was going on. Now, please, I'm explaining the principle here. David was able to enter into that kingdom and manifest divine power. How? Because he had the knowledge. Except a man be born again, he cannot see. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? This is what Christianity is. The thing that happens in your heart so that you get to a point where you look at the situation, draw back, analyze, suddenly you know what to do. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know what to do. To everybody else is foolishness. To you, you don't understand why they can't see that it makes sense. What if I miss? Why should I miss? With a head as big as this, why should I miss? I went after 50 mangoes in this last mango season. I did not miss. There was the last five, actually, the breeze was blowing. I waited for the breeze to calm down. It did not calm down. So I checked the frequency of the blowing of the rain. When I saw the way the mango was moving to and fro, I discovered the natural rhythm of the movement. So I aimed my stone to match it at the peak of its motion. And it came down. Why will I miss? Why will I miss? My friends, where I thought to sling stones All right? They are not missing. Why will I miss? Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, the power of God in his life is that God said, as he has said it, he will not miss. I will freeze Goliath for him. Goliath will be looking at the stone as he's heading towards him. He boga and for head. Before he realizes what is happening, he's dead. That's what I'm going to do for David. But this is the point I'm making. David knew what he would need to do to bring down Goliath. That's what Peter called what? Your entrance. Look at that verse 11 again. He said, for in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior will be abundantly supplied to you. I don't want to spend too much time. Let me begin to round off. Number one, first principle of how Christians get results is for them to know that they have promises over their heads and there is a specific word about their lives. Until they discover that word, it's going to be a matter of struggle. Until God gives you that word, do that which seems good to you. What I mean is that if you don't know exactly what yet, it makes sense for a man to labor and eat. You get my point. Go to work regularly. It makes sense. But he knows that I won't get anywhere until I step into the word for my life. That's one of the things you learn, the matter of patience. Christians can't afford to be in a hurry. Some of the principles people don't, they teach as natural principles. We don't need them. Some of the principles that will, look, that will really, for us as believers, break forth great manifestations in our lives. To the person who's not a believer, they are very foolish. Personally, I've seen people look at me before and wonder whether I was normal. But what I was seeing, they were looking at, why do you want to go in this line? One of my friends, one day we stopped to shine our shoes or something like that, or was it to pump tire? I was in his car, a senior friend. So he said, how much would that be? I said, I think it's 20 naira. He said, no, it can't be 20 naira. I said, oh God, it's 20 naira. He said, ah, the guy does not want to build a house. Why is he charging 20 naira? He said, won't he buy a car? How's he charging 20 naira? The way he responded, he was, 20 naira is not going to get him anywhere. All right, he wants 20 naira. Let's give him the 20 naira. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's the people who look at me that, why are you following this path in life? Don't you want to build a house? Don't you want to buy a car? Don't you want to be able to go anywhere you would so desire on this earth? And I was looking at them like, what's wrong with you? Don't you know that when the time comes, great doors will be open to me that I will start a house in January and complete it by December? Because I want it to be well done. If I want one of these shabby things they are doing, I'll do it in 3 months. Don't you know that men who start building house small are out of peace of mind for the next 10 years until the house is complete? Don't you know that any man that struggles to go anywhere in life will struggle to stay there? Don't you know that if God doesn't open a door, only struggles you will use to try and knock the door down and what is behind it will not be peaceable to your heart? And what's wrong with them? I feel like, okay, so the money, the lecturers have been paid now, it's not good. I said, who told you that it's from there a man will become very great in life? I said, listen, my life is in stages. And why am I doing what I'm doing? Because I want to go and fulfill a calling. It is God teaching the word of God. And this just fits. I can't just understand their problems. But the reason being that what they think is important to me is not important. I read all the encyclopedias in the world and not one of them, you know what I'm trying to say, describe the kind of house that Paul built. Earthquake here, now Indonesia earthquake day now. You know, look, apart from those who died, you know how many people who were rich who are now poor? The landlords who felt they shouldn't work again but cross their legs and be collecting rent. You know what has happened now? The buildings have gone down and insurance for information does not cover earthquake. You know why? The insurance company will go bankrupt. So even though they cover, they will go bankrupt once the quake finishes restoring the building. CEO will call everybody, boys, what's our liability? They will say $2.5 trillion. All right, shut down. Just file for bankruptcy protection. We can no longer meet our obligations. They call them the acts of God. Very correct description. It's not the devil. I can show you. It's Isaiah chapter 40. All flesh is grass. When the quake of God shakes upon it, you understand that scripture? Are you getting what I'm going to explain? I felt that, no, for me, this is a reasonable matter. What am I bringing out? The Christian knows there's a promise. And is not hindered by all these cares of the world. That's number one. That's number one. But remember the question I kept on asking again and again. How do I get to the... Okay, the next point. The next point is that I know there's a promise over my life. And number two, the second principle. The first principle is the knowledge of the fact about your life, that you're not an accident. The second principle is that you need an entrance. Everybody say entrance. And what is that entrance? It is a knowledge of the will of God for your life at that particular point in time. You don't learn that in business schools. You don't. You don't learn that anywhere else. You don't. How do you learn it? The Spirit. Now, that's Christianity is real. The Spirit of God will inspire something inside you. Are you getting my point? The Holy Spirit will overshadow you. Then a seed will be conceived in your heart, which you will know, by which you will know exactly what to do. And that's why we described the life of who? David. Next point I want to make is how do we get to that point of knowledge? So I brought out 2 points. Number one, the knowledge. That's concerning how to get results. Number one is the knowledge of that which is real. That is, your life is not an accident. You know that you were born on purpose. Then secondly, you must get your own entrance. Now the main thing I want to go into next, which I will just introduce and we'll continue next time, is how we get into that. And that's why we read all that portion of the scriptures, Second Peter chapter 1. He said, because of the understanding we have concerning the way these things work, we apply all diligence so that in our faith we supply moral excellence, and in that moral excellence we supply knowledge. And he said these are qualities: self-control, perseverance, godliness, and brotherly kindness. He said if you have these qualities and you are increasing, you will not be unfruitful. He said, but if you lack these qualities, you are what? Look, verse 9. Everybody look at verse 9. The person who lacks these qualities is what? Is what? Blind. Say it again. Blind. The person who lacks these qualities is what? Blind. Are you seeing that? He's blind. He will not be able to see his own entrance. I don't know. Did you hear that? It said, apply all diligence to come to a level. What am I saying? David was able to see his own entrance into the kingdom. Are you getting the point? The person who doesn't have the qualities will not be able to see his own entrance. And except a man be born again, he cannot see. The way we have taught born again as Christians is one day come to church, give your life to Christ, and you are born again. That is correct. Amen. But that is the beginning of something. Don't ever forget that scripture I quoted, talking about the parable in the book of Luke about the prodigal son. Jesus said that in New American Standard, he said, your brother that was dead has now begun to live. Are you getting my point? Born again is not a once and for all process. It's a process that I start, I don't stop. Let me tell you the truth. People say that nobody could be born again before Jesus Christ died. That doesn't make sense. Because Jesus himself said to somebody, you need it. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. I will discuss that when we continue next time. But this point I'm making from there. For a man to see, he has to go through certain processes. For a man to see, he has to work on his qualities. Let me say this. Your only job as a believer, when it comes, now please hear me clearly. This is never taught in business schools. That's why you don't need what they are teaching as a primary foundation. You need this one. The primary job as a believer in getting results in life, all right, having discovered that he's not an accident, having discovered that he needs an entrance, his primary job is to ensure the clearness of his eyes. And that is done simply by working on his moral character. Did you hear what I said? Listen, you cannot go... This is a mistake we make. You say, God, reveal to me what is my door. Reveal to me your will, your wisdom. Because it doesn't work like that. What I reveal to you are your sins and your iniquities. I don't know whether I get my point. What I reveal to you are the places you are not showing brotherly kindness. What I reveal to you is where you are not showing perseverance. What I reveal to you is where you are walking in iniquity. And then you will come and cleanse your life of those things. And once your life is cleansed, you will suddenly discover that your eyes are clear and you can discover what it is that's your entrance. How do Christians get results? By daily offering up the correct sacrifices before God. I want to summarize everything that I'm going to discuss next in that expression. This is how Christians get results. You see, because the result of your life is dependent upon your ability to decode your own entrance. You know, we've established the mission of entrance. How do I get to know my entrance? Peter said, I apply diligence so that in my life, I will make some things sure. Let's quickly read them again so we can close. I apply diligence so that I will apply, he said, I will use, in my faith, I will supply what? Moral excellence. In my moral excellence, I will supply knowledge. With that, I will add what? Self-control. With that, I will add perseverance. With that, I will add godliness. And with that, I will add brotherly kindness. And with that, I will add overall love. Now, when I have these qualities, I will discover that my eyes are clear. And then suddenly, revelation becomes normal to me. Are you getting my point? Just sitting down. Now, I'm going to get into that. Because as believers, you need time to settle down and contemplate. We'll discuss again what I call contemplating the mess. You know, we discussed that before. That is when he said the earth was without form and it was void. And darkness was over the surface of the deep. And then God said, let there be light. Are you getting the point? When God said that thing, all right, it was out of what he had contemplated. So when I said, let there be 1 hour at a time, are you getting what I'm saying? Suddenly it arranged. Actually, God was arranging it ahead of time, waiting for me to get to a point where I will understand. Like I said, to me it is reasonable. How much will it cost? To me it is reasonable. Where will the money come from? To me it is reasonable. To other people, it might not be. What have I said? As a conclusion, where we'll continue from today. I said, the way by which you begin to enter into your kingdom is for you to see. The way by which you ensure that you see is for you to ensure that your eyes are what? Clear. And that is by supplying moral excellence into your life. Listen, any gospel, let me say to you again, that says to you you can prosper without repentance from sin, the preacher is either confused or he's deliberately lying. Christians don't get rich. Do you understand my point? By sowing more money. Oh gosh, I wish you get my point. The reason why Christians give is because without giving is wickedness. Because the Bible says supply brotherly kindness and brotherly kindness what? Love. It has the same effect. Listen, giving has, listen. The giving of money as a believer has the same effect as abstaining from cheating. It has the same effect as abstaining from sexual immorality. It has the same effect as abstaining from telling lies. Giving for a believer is part of this moral integrity. You can't bribe God into prosperity. You can't. It's just a popular doctrine in the body of Christ. The reason why you prosper is because Jesus died that you might prosper. Do you understand my point? Have I explained anything today? I've just been jumping to make myself happy. The Lord is good. Let me summarize in just one statement. Your life is not average. Your destiny was determined before you were born. The reason why you will succeed is because God has a promise that guarantees success. You are not trying to succeed. You are living out the success that was prophesied over your life. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
And the way by which you enter into that kingdom is by what? Seeing, knowledge, knowing the will of God, having the understanding of your own entrance. And without the addition of moral character, you will not be able to see. You will just continue to struggle. So your job as a believer is a constant confession of sin. Sin doesn't mean that, sir, as I was going today, I lusted after another man's wife. That is a sin. If you do that, you should also confess. Are you getting what I'm saying? But sin is beyond that. Sin is everything you are doing that is not in perfect order according to what God proposed that your life should be. It can be that never having told your wife I love in the last 1 week is a sin. It's possible. That's one sin I don't commit. It can be a sin that you have not prophesied over your children in the last 4 days. Another sin that I don't commit. It might be a sin for you that you pay yourself first before you pay your staff. It might be a sin that every time you go to work, you don't remember to knock on your boss's door and give him a blessing. Or enter into your office and, you know, enter your office, shut the door. Shabango solebeto. Father God, thank you for my boss. Thank you for the man who owns this business. You will bless him, bless his family. I pray that we will increase. And it's not for yourself, it's for somebody else. For you, that may be the sin. Your sin may be that I have prophesied that good will never come to Nigeria. Because every day I say, Nepa is not working. All these people are thieves. Can't you see only Barawo, all of them? May God punish them one by one. That may be the sin that you are committing. I hope you've gotten my point.